I'm sorry to laugh, but I'm telling you, brother, you are my fucking favorite of all time.
Thanks, man.
I was just looking at my copy of Too Fat to Fish. But before we get started, this has been rolling tape. 99.1 PLR. My guest today is, Jesus Christ, it's like you hit a grand slam. I mean, actor, comedian, radio personality, writer, best-selling books, Waiting for Book 2, is Artie Lang, appearing at the Stanford Palace Theater this coming Saturday night. Brother, I'm telling you, I am a huge fan of yours, and I since Howard Stern. I tell you, those were incredible years when you were on the show.
Mike, I really appreciate that, man. Nice of you to say.
Oh, it's a fact, you know. Stern, again, like all of us, and that's why I think your talent is that you can be a star, but yet you're also one of the biggest fans, you know. So it's like you're representing all of us. So having you on Stern was entertaining because you're already Lang, but you were also, I mean, I saw, you know, through your eyes the stardom and you really relate that, I think, to your fans. I think that's just a good attribute.
Thanks. It was so much fun to do. You know, I mean, the only part of that show that remotely felt like work was getting up early. But the rest was just like being in the fifth grade, just laughing all day. It was great. It was great fun. And yeah, it was, definitely a dream come true for me. And I think a lot of people related to that, like if it were them. So that was fun.
Yeah. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is how difficult. I've been a radio dish jockey 37 years. You know, it is a mundane, routine kind of job. I mean, you can make it fun. You can also make it horrible, too.
Right. It can get that way. Absolutely.
And but you're a guy that didn't come in through radio. I mean, you were on Mad TV. You know, you were doing TV, stand-up. And so you already had a basis of show business from that end. So
yeah.
I got to give you respect to be on that show that long, the way you came in, because a lot of comedians or actors, they can't make it in radio because after like a year or so, they're just not getting the feedback and they just don't get it. Seriously, you got it. You know?
Well, it was, you know, but everybody said to me, you know, it's funny how agents in California can be so jaded. You know, I had done I was a regular on two network series that, yeah, you know, you make good money. I had a couple of big network deals, and I had made, you know, I had lead roles in movies that were, yeah, you know, studio films. And I had toured doing stand-up and everything. And they were like, well, you're not going to throw all that away for a radio show. I said, guys, this isn't a radio show.
You're
this
right.
is the Howard Stern Show. This is our generation's Johnny Carson. This is a chance to be on, in my opinion, the best, most entertaining show of all time, and to be a big part of it, like a co-host of it.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna stay there as long as I can, and believe me, it will lead to other things when the time comes. But this is, I wouldn't do this to be part of the Z Morning Zoo. You know,
exactly.
It's dirt. And that's what they didn't get, and thank God I got that being a fan, and it did everything for me. You know,
that's true, and it's And you, in the history of the Stern Show, and I remember him because we're both the same age, Howard and myself. So,
right.
And it's funny, we both have three kids. I adore the man. He can do no wrong. And I started listening to him, you know, when he came up here at NBC, you know, 66
right.
NBC. And, you know, being in the business that long, it's like he's doing the shit that I wish I could have done. But I didn't have the fucking balls to do it. You know, I didn't. He did, and his success is, you know, is incredible. But during the history of his show, he's only had one co-host, and that's Robin. You know, not knocking Fred and the cast of characters and Gary. I mean, they're all part of the show. But a co-host was Robin, and then it was you and Robin. I mean, you were certainly a co-host. You weren't a Jackie, a joke writer. You weren't a Benji or any of the. I mean, you were Artie Lang. You were definitely a third person of that show. What was it, 8 years or 9?
Hey, I was there full time, 8.5 years.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's a good point. People say I replaced Jackie. I sat
there,
but we did very different things. Benji really replaced Jackie. And I mean,
right,
I was
exactly.
in the beginning, I would try to write for Howard the way Benji and Jackie did, and, yeah. and the way Fred does so brilliantly. And I wasn't good at it. I wasn't good at writing in his voice, and he would rarely use yeah. lines I used. And I, that scared me that I was going to get fired early on. But it actually helped me in the sense that he said, listen, if you have something funny to say, forget about writing it for me. Just say it. I'll keep your mic on all the time, and you could just say it, and we'll try to get a rhythm going. And it happened. And it was a blessing in disguise, yeah, and because of that, yeah, I became more of a co-host, and it just, you know, my career skyrocketed because of it. It's just the best thing ever.
It was. It was good, and he's generous enough, because in this business, there are so many fucking assholes in the radio. I'm not one of those guys. I swear to God. I'm a low-key, nice Italian boy, you know, and I wake up every morning. And I'm grateful that I have a fucking job in this industry, you know.
Hey,
and
look, we all got to be that way now.
Exactly.
You know, right?
Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, what you have to learn later in life, if any young men are listening right now, is learn humility as soon as you can.
Right.
Because
that's
makes
a big
you
time thing you need to know, absolutely.
Yeah, and let me tell you, this is coming from a guy who was dressed up in a pig costume. score a coke out in L.A., you know? I mean, so if anybody, if anybody knows humility, I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. I remember that day thinking to myself, oh, this is showbiz. I'm in Malibu with glamour.
Yeah, with his prosthetics on from Mad TV.
Shooting a sketch in a outfit trying to get cocaine through the snout. That's it.
You know, if I was, and God forbid, I'm not. If I was a Make-A-Wish kid, all right? Okay, and I'm not knocking that. I mean, I do charity. I love that shit. But if I was, my wish would be this: to go to an afternoon game, ball game, Yankee game, with Artie Lang, and then afterwards go to Peter Luger's for steaks. But of course, throughout the whole day, have a couple of hot fucking hookers with us. Now that's my wish. So if anything happens to me, Artie, if I all of a sudden get sick, someone's going to call you and say, "Well, you interviewed this New Haven disc jockey a couple years ago. He wants his wish."
I will do what I can. What you just described is an afternoon. It's the reason why we fought this Revolutionary War, man. Come on,
yeah, exactly.
It's our birthright. You got it.
What do you wish? So let me ask you something. How's your health? You sound great. I mean, how you doing? I mean, because all of us had followed you on Skype, you know.
I could drop a bunch of pounds, which I have to. But for the life I've led, I am surprisingly in good shape.
That's awesome.
I just got a major workup done with a bunch of stuff, and I'm okay.
Well,
I mean, you know, I'm not a young Bruce Jenner. But
no.
He isn't even at this point.
No, he isn't either.
I'm not bad. So
yeah, that's good.
I just turned 46, and every time I have a birthday, a bunch of money changes hands on the internet. So after all the people that had me at dying before 46.
Well, that's good. If you can get a piece of that, you're even better off, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, you can make money and I'm alive. It's the best of both worlds.
Let's talk about right now. You're going to be at the Palace Theater in Stanford this coming Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that's a great theater to play. It's been around for years. And you're very familiar with Fairfield County in Connecticut. I mean, hell, you're a New Yorker.
Sure.
Is this part of a tour? And I know at one time are you still doing the radio show, the sports show?
Yeah, I do that every night.
Okay,
it's hard with a five day a week gig to do stand up, but in the last year and a half, the 2 years, I have done a lot of gigs. I mean, it's not the crazy road schedule I used to have, but for having a five night a week radio and TV show in New York, I mean, in the last year and a half, I've been to Boston, Tampa, Miami. I've been to Pittsburgh. I've been to Detroit. I've been Atlantic City, Philly.
Yeah.
All over the place. Chicago. I've been to Indiana. I've been to Minneapolis, New Orleans. So, you know, I think a lot, but for me, and for a year and a half, it's been a nice steady tour. I've been touring with pretty much the material that I'm going to use for my third special I'm going to shoot in about 2 months when the book stuff dies down.
Mm-hmm.
You could call it a tour, absolutely. It's sort of like my post-crash and burn post-rehab tour it's been. And I've been getting around, and the new material works great. It's got a lot to do with my rehab days. And
mm-hmm.
some crazy observations. So, yeah, you could call this a tour, absolutely.
Well, that's great. Now, Artie, and I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm not familiar with the show at night, I love going to ball games, but I'm not as you are. You're an extreme enthusiast with pretty much all aspects of sports. And were you doing a show with another comedian? Was it not Nick DiPaolo?
And me and Nick did a show for a year together. The show's now in its third year. I signed a deal with DirecTV, and it's not just sports. It's sports is a main theme, but it's pop culture. It's everything. We have bands on, a bunch of comedians, and Nick and I did a show for a year. We had a blast, and we're still friends. And Nick left to pursue other things creatively, they made it my show, and it's been my show now for well over a year, and I'm having a blast. So every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on DirecTV, they have their own network, audience network,
right.
Channel 239, same as the Dan Patrick show.
Okay.
I'm the night sort of crazy on acid version of that show. And it's just nuts. It's not just sports. Like I say, it's everything. It's on DirecTV and Sirius Satellite Radio, and we got run 80 affiliates in regular markets. So it's a podcast. It's everything you can imagine for radio and TV, and it's a blast. They built me a man cave in Soho in New York City. That's this gourmet kitchens in it, and pull out beds and a batting cage, a pool table, a ping pong table. Kevin, it's the best studio I've ever been in, and we do the show.
I apologize for not watching it, but
don't worry about it.
No, that's going to change. That's going to change because again, I am a big fan, and you know, after when you left Stern, you know, and again, I don't want to go into the low points. I mean, I know, you know, you did the, and that's great, and I'm telling you, everybody has always been rooting for you. And, you know, what you do is you never piss off an Artie Lang fan because you get your ass kicked, that's for sure. But
people have been great, you know. Yeah. I had my issues, and I came out the other end. It took a while, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I tell you. And I think everybody does, too, because you're definitely well-loved. But I'm going to have to check this out. So it's on. I can watch it on cable, right? I mean,
All right, you have to have DirecTV to watch it, or you could check it on YouTube. But to listen to it, you would need Sirius or be in a city where we're on. Or, of course, you can stream it on a computer. You go to ArtieLangShow.com.
But what channel is it on Sirius?
It's on channel 92.
92, okay. I see. I didn't know. And is that live? I mean, you're doing that live?
Yeah, it's live every night.
Because there's not a live programming comes out of Sirius. A lot of it's, you know, voice tracked, of course. But, you know, Stern, of course, being live, and you, and I think there's a few other shows. Are there more than that?
Yeah, it's not. I don't do it from the Sirius studios. Like I said, I have my own studio.
Right, exactly.
But they air it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
It's so fun, man. You know, like I said, I've been lucky enough to work in every aspect of this business.
You really have.
You see the immediacy of radio. You sit in front of that mic and you have fun and it gets out there. It's great.
Yeah, but as I told you, there's not. Yeah, and being in the business, you know, the radio people are really different from everybody else. You know what I mean? And you really got to get the whole idea. And you've definitely mastered that. Like, I think if you found that out first, I think you'd probably would have been a disc jockey all of your life.
If I had, look, again, I wanted to do everything. I wanted to do sketch comedy. I wanted to be funny on the radio like Howard. I wanted to do stand-up like Richard Pryor. And I wanted to be in movies like Jim Carrey. You know, I wanted to do it all, and I've been lucky enough to try it all. The most success I've ever had, without question, is the radio. You know, it's a blast.
But I'll tell you something. Someone ought to do a script with you and Norm again. You guys are you're good together.
Well, we did I opened for Norm on the road quite a bit, so we did stand-up together, and we did a sitcom together for 3 years.
Yeah.
And a buddy comedy that's become kind of a cult.
It is a cult classic.
Yeah, you know, I would love to, but that's Hollywood making decisions. I would do anything with Norm. He's the smartest, funniest guy ever.
God, I just, I tell you, he is. I just, he can sit there and give you that awkward silence. And you just laugh your ass off, you know.
That's what he's doing. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Oh, he does. He's good. And you are too, man. Hey, listen, so Saturday night, it's the Palace Theater in Stanford Palace. You got anybody opening for you?
I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe a local guy. I'm not sure who I'm taking. I'm not positive.
Okay, so you're going on about what time? I mean, the show starts, I think, at 8 o'clock. You're probably going on like at 9?
No, if a show starts at 8, you can see me up there by 8:30, probably, sure.
Oh, cool. All right. So, yeah, so it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it'll be great, man. It's fun. I go up there and I do about an hour, you know, and the first guy does about 20 minutes. It's a good, you know, nice time to check it out. Like I said, the material I'm doing on this tour is nuts, and it's honest, and it's stuff, you know, real comedic look at what I went through, which is crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Well, you know, the cast of characters that you've known in your life, I'm telling you, you should, again, I think there's another book in you.
Well, I got, I got this the second one's coming out in 2 weeks, October 29th.
This is after Too Fat to Fish.
This is a sequel to Too Fat to Fish called Crash and Burn.
Oh, Crash and Burn, okay.
That comes out, it's my second one. Yeah, you can pre-order it, and it comes out October 29th, absolutely.
I like what's written on the back of the book. I'll explain this homo bullshit in book two.
That's the back of Too Fat to Fish, yeah.
That's definitely a picture from the 80s, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Artie, I tell you, man, I would love to just hang out with you for a long time.
Well, I appreciate all the kind words, man. If you're around, Saturday, try to come by.
I'm definitely coming down. I got to MC a show up in Waterbury later on in the night. But then coming down there, at least may I come down before show, because I'd love to see you and just shake your hand.
I'd love to meet you too, brother. Come on by.
Artie, you're the best, man. I love you. I swear to God, you're the best.
Thanks, Mike, for the time. I appreciate it.
It's my honor, my friend. My honor.
All right, brother.
I'll talk to you later, pal.
Take care, my man.
You got it. Bye.